In that, we thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. He is welcome here in this place. I pray, Father, that everyone under the sound of my voice, whether it's over the internet or whether it's here personally, I pray that their ears will be open to hear and their hearts will be open to receive your word. Because we understand that your word would never, ever, 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 ever return to you void. But it does accomplish your will in this earth. It is everlasting. Everything else shall fail, but the word of God endures forever. Hallelujah. So we thank you for that, Father God, and we give you the glory, we give you the honor, and we give you the praise. It's an honor, Father God, to stand here and minister your word, and I just ask you to speak through me. Speak through me. I give you the glory and honor and the praise. I take none for myself because I don't deserve any. Hallelujah. But you deserve it all. You deserve it all. So we praise you and we honor you in Jesus' mighty name. Say amen with me.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. All right. We have been, I've been ministering to you from the book of Revelation for quite a while now concerning the seven churches of Asia, Asia Minor. And I think I think we need to pay special attention to what Jesus was and still is saying to the churches. Amen. And you see, that's been our main focus. And I've talked some about the condition of the church and the environment and so forth. And I'll still touch on those areas. I won't go as deep into it as I could. There's a lot of things that we could cover here, and we probably preach on it a year, you know. But my main focus is that you hear what Jesus is saying to the churches. Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right, and of course we began in chapter 2 as far as the churches is concerned. Actually, we covered some areas in first chapter as well, but we began with the church at Ephesus, and we dealt with some things with the Ephesian church, and then I think we went on to Smyrna. Praise God. Amen. Pergamos. Or Pergamos, however you want to pronounce it. And we're going to go into the church at Thyatira, or Thyatira, however you want to pronounce it. But I want us to pay special attention to verse 16 of chapter 2. As Jesus was speaking to the churches, he says, "Repent, repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth." Let me tell you something. One thing that Jesus demands in our life is that we repent, that we have a change of mind about the direction we are going when that direction is in contrary to the word of God. You hear me? Amen. But here's what we have to understand. We have to do the repenting. We have to do the changing. Amen. The Word of God tells us what we need to do, how we need to live. But we have to do it. But here's also something we need to understand. God loves us. God really does love us. Jesus Christ, and you've heard me say this before, he loved the church. He loved the church. Amen. But he tells us the truth. Do you know that there's a biblical principle called seed time and harvest? And that does not just apply to money or giving, although we have a promise from the Word of God that when we give, it would be given back to us. Amen? And thank God for that. We have that promise from the Word of God. But it's not limited to our giving of our finances or giving of our material goods. That principle works in every area of our lives. And so what Jesus was letting them know, listen, if you keep going in the direction you're going, you're going to reap a harvest that you're not going to like. Huh? You're going to reap a harvest that you're not going to like. You're going to reap a harvest that you're not going to be comfortable with. Amen. So sometimes we feel like, man, things are going good now. It couldn't be better. Praise God. But you know what? If we are walking and living contrary to the Word of God, that's not going to continue. Simply because of the biblical principle of seed time and harvest. Whatsoever we sow, the same we'll reap, right? I said amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. All right, having said that, now let's go on. Let me begin reading at verse 18 now. It says, and to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, hallelujah. To this church, he identifies himself as the Son of God, hallelujah. Back in Smyrna, he identified himself as the first and the last. He that was dead but is alive. Glory to God. At the Church of Ephesus, he identified himself as he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. That's the churches. Are you still here? The Church of Pergamos, he identifies himself as the one who has the two-edged sword. Are y'all listening tonight? Hallelujah. But to this church, he identifies himself as the Son of God. So let me read on. To the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. And he goes on to say, I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Sound like this church got off to a kind of slow start, didn't it? But here's the good thing about that. They improved. It's so much better to be moving forward than to be sliding backwards. You may not be perfect, but if you're moving forward, glory to God, that's a good thing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 20, nevertheless, I have a few things against you. Because, listen to this, because you allow that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the mind and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no more burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Why would Jesus tell them that? Because there was a lot of pressure, a lot of temptation that they had to deal with. Verse 26, and he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Hallelujah. This church at Thyatira was known as the corrupt church because they tolerated or put up with this woman, Jezebel. Now, you know, Ahab's wife, okay? Jezebel in the Old Testament, no, this is not her. But it's amazing how some people want to attach themselves to the church. And when they get there, they fight and they scratch looking for authority. They want influence. You listening to me? They want influence. Everybody say influence. Let me tell you something. If you find someone, especially in church, that's fighting, scratching, doing it, whatever they have to do to have more influence, you better watch them. I said you better watch them. God's called all of us to be humble, not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God does the exalting. What we are to do is be faithful. Be faithful. Follow him. Obey his voice. Obey his word. Be faithful. Promotion comes from God. Hallelujah. Now, this is one of the things it says about this woman, Jezebel. Notice what it says. Let me find my place here again. Look back at verse 20. It says, "Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess." Now, I find that very interesting. Notice what Jesus said. Now, Jesus is speaking here. Amen. Is that in red in your Bible? If you have one? So Jesus is talking, right? So what Jesus said is, this woman, Jezebel, calls herself a prophet. What Jesus was inferring is that she calls herself a prophet. I don't call her a prophet. Amen. Now, evidently, in some way, somehow, she influenced the leadership of that church to let her have some authority. And she began to speak into the lives of the church. And she was speaking corruption. Let's read on. Stay with me here. And you know, I love everybody. I'm going to read, but I love everybody, and I especially love ministers, men and women called of God. Are you here? Praise God for men and women called of God. I love them. But I can't let just any and everybody into the pulpit, because I don't know what's coming out their mouth. One bad sermon can take years to clear up, especially if it tickles the flesh. If it's satisfying to the flesh. And that's what this woman did. She ministered to the flesh, fleshly things. The flesh loves to be satisfied, doesn't it? And when you tell them, oh, it's okay, you can do this, you can do that, you can live this way, you can live that way, God don't mind. God's all right with that. Grace got you covered. God's not pleased with that. So let me read verse 20 again. He says, "Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allowed," notice that, how Jesus said it, "you allowed that woman," which means the leadership, the pastor, didn't have to allow it. But they did. "Because you allowed that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to do what?" To do what? Teach. Teach. She was allowed to teach. And what else? Seduce my servants. To commit what? And eat things sacrificed to idols. Hallelujah. Give me that verse 20 Let me see. Let's start with the New Living Translation. I just want us to see it. But I have this complaint against you. You are permitting that woman, that Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, or prophet, New Living Translation say prophet, to lead my servants astray. She teaches them to commit sexual sin and to eat food offered to idols. She was not sent by God, she was sent by the devil. Now, I don't know this woman, Jezebel. I don't know what she looked like, but I would think, okay, hear how I'm saying this. The Bible doesn't say that this, not that I've seen anyway. But I would think that she must have been a beautiful woman to look at, I would think. She probably was very attractive. And if she was, you know she got the attention of the men in the church. And then she began to prophesy to him. Oh, God sees your hunger. God sees your needs. He know that your wife died 6 months ago. He knows that you need somebody in your life. So just go live like you're married. God understands. And she might would have said something like this, thus said the Lord. But the pastors allowed this woman to do that. So she was ministering to their flesh, and Jesus said, I don't like that. You're leading my people astray. Hallelujah. You still here? Now, I understand that this was written years ago, years and years ago. But let me ask you a question. Are we hearing about these things today? Are you still here? Their church is splitting. Because they want to have their way. They want to do whatever it is they can do to satisfy their flesh. And they have folks saying, that's okay. God understands. So, as we see, she was a woman of influence, and she was permitted to teach the church. She taught wrong doctrine, as I said, and led the people astray. I want you to turn in your Bible. You can put your ribbon at 2nd chapter of Revelation, but let's go back to the book of Galatians, the first chapter. So we can see how serious God is about this stuff. Galatians chapter 1. Now, I'll just pick it up at verse 6. It says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. You hear that? To a different gospel, which is not another. In other words, he was saying here, there is not another gospel. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Don't you know that's what the devil wants? He wants to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wants to pervert the word of God. Look at verse 8. But even if, and the Apostle Paul included himself in that, but even if we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Now, if that wasn't enough, let's look at verse 9. As we have said before, now I say it again. If anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. This gospel is precious. The word of God, obedience to the word of God, is the only way to salvation. And of course, the word of God leads us to Jesus Christ and walking with him. And the Apostle Paul said, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, if we or an angel from heaven or anyone come and preach you something else, let them be accursed. Because this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is too precious. We must hear the truth. And so they let this woman in. And she was teaching a different gospel. They allowed her to do that. So that affected them spiritually. And it affected them physically. Hallelujah. She led them to commit adultery. How many of y'all know adultery is a sin? It's a sin against God. And it's not just, listen, it's a sin against God, right? But there's more to it than just being a sin against God. It's a sin against your own body. Amen. Now, what I'm preaching to you may be tight, but I want to tell you something. It is right. Hallelujah. We got to live by the word of God, walk by the word of God. Praise God. And that's what Jesus was talking about to these churches. And let's go back to Revelation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And he went on to say, again, I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Let me tell you something. Doesn't matter how bad a person is, God's grace and His mercy is available to them. You may have messed up 100 times, but God will give you space to repent. But the thing about it, there is a last time. There is a last time. Thank God that you didn't stay out there too long. I thank God that I didn't stay out there too long. Why? It's because of God's love and His mercy. And we see His love and His mercy being extended to this woman Jezebel. As wicked as she was, as deceptive as she was, God gave her a space of time to repent. Did she ever repent? I don't know. I hope she did. I hope she got right with God. But He was giving her time to repent. But He was letting them know, if she don't repent, this is what's going to happen. And you can't blame God for that. Hallelujah. Now, drop down to verse 23. He says, I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am He who searches the, listen to this, I am He who searches the minds and the hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. Hallelujah. Hold your place there in Revelation, and let's turn back backwards. Glory to God. To the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, 16th chapter. First Samuel, 16th chapter. I'll just pick it up at verse 1. It says, Now the Lord said to Samuel, How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I'm sending you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. And Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me. But the Lord said, Take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you. So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, Do you come peacefully? And he said, Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Well, let's read verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the, you ready for this? For the Lord does not see as man sees. Now let me stop right there for a moment. Samuel was the prophet of God, right? But even he was fooled. Because here's this son of Jesse, Eliab, a fine-looking young man, probably buffed, you know, working in the fields and so forth, and just a fine-looking young man. And Samuel thought, this is the guy right here. This is the guy right here. But no, 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 no. Let me finish verse 7. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance. But what does the Lord do? The Lord looks at the heart. The Lord looks at the heart. And Jesus said over in Revelation chapter 2 that he looks at the heart. He looks at the heart. He knew what was in Jezebel's heart. He knew she was a false prophet. Now, that's mean I said earlier, she probably was a beautiful woman, and she probably said all the right things. You know, folks can come to you, amen, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, glory, and speak in tongues a little bit, whatever, you know. But God looks at the heart. God knew what was in that woman. But guess what? How does that apply to us today? We need to pray, and we need to be sensitive that we are not deceived and carried away by false doctrine. Remember what, and I'm going to close right here. We can go further, but I'm going to close it up right here. Remember what the Word of God says? That Satan comes as a what? Wolf. How's he dressed? How is he dressed? In sheep's clothing. Amen. So folks, we you know, I want you to be sharp. Stay in God's word. Spend time with him in prayer and in fellowship. And can I ask the favor of you? Can I? Please be very careful who you listen to on the internet. Now don't get me wrong, there's some good men and women of God, anointed of God, that's preaching the word of God on the internet. But you don't need to swallow everything that come down the tube. You need to know enough of the word to know if this person is of God, and if this what this person is teaching or preaching lines up with the word of God. Amen? Some folks will swallow anything, hook, line, sinker, all of it. Choking to death while they drown it. But the Word of God tells us, God says, I have placed my word above my name. Say that again. God said it. I have placed my word above my name. His word is in his integrity. If God says do something, we need to be doing it. If God's word says don't do it, we don't need to do it. In closing, let me say this. We have to understand, I thank God. Thank God for the fivefold ministry that's in the church today. I count it such a great honor to be one in that number. But I also know and understand that every born-again believer have the same Holy Spirit on the inside of them that I have and every other minister have. We all have the same Holy Spirit if you're born again. So we need to train our spirits through the Word of God to be sensitive, to know that if somebody's preaching something off the wall or telling you something off the wall, you need to pick that up. You need to pick that up. You need to be able, yeah, you can do that because we're born again believers. Amen. Hopefully spirit filled. You need to be able to pick that up. You know, right on the inside of you, a light can come on. You thought, oh, glory to God. Yeah, my spirit bear witness. Or you could feel a check and you say, not quite sure about that. And it's no sin if you're not sure, as they say, to set it up on the shelf for a while until you are. God will honor that. That's not rebellion. Because the time that we're living in now, there are too many people being deceived. Amen? But I want you to look at somebody and say, but not me. Now, by saying that, you got to make sure you do something about it, though. Amen? You got to do something about it. This woman, Jezebel, messed up practically, almost messed up an entire church. Because, first of all, she called herself something that she wasn't. She pretended to be something that she wasn't so that she could get into the hearts and minds of the church. And evidently, she fooled the leadership, too. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. We give you the glory. We give you the honor for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.